I'm back.
I promised that I have shared up every Sunday that I was gone. I've put a lot in it, so this sermon will probably go maybe 45, 50 minutes. That'll be okay, right? Yeah, I figured. Boy, do I know how to run people off or not. Well, let's move along. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Judges. And I'm reading today from the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 8. I added one yesterday. It didn't make the bulletin, but I think we'll be all right. Listen for the word of our Lord. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Uad died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Horosheth Hagoyim. I can get it out. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoto, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Obedanam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a great little book, this book of Judges. We don't often preach from it, because it says a lot of things over and over and over again, and you don't really want to hear it the first time anyway, so I don't think you can. This Judges is a period of time in the Israelites, who would become the Israelites, this time between when Joshua has passed away, somewhere between 1200 and 1175 BC. We think, maybe, we don't know. How about that one? It could be any of those. At Joshua's death, then the last part of this period of the Judges is when the United Monarchy comes, when Saul becomes king. There is this time, probably about 70 years-ish, 50 to 70 years, where God rises up leaders when it's necessary. He speaks specifically to them and says, "You need to do this. This will fix this." What happens is the people of God are in this area, brought this place to this place, and they are supposed to live separately, different lives. Let me put it that way. Different lives from the people who were already there when they came back from Egypt. They are supposed to live a life concentrating on doing what God wants them to do. They are supposed to be fellowshipping with God, worshiping God, listening for God's instructions, doing what they say. They are supposed to be a guiding light to those people around them. The problem is they do what most of us do after a while. We kind of mesh in to what's going on. They started taking on not changing their neighbors' worship rites and things and showing them the pleasure and the joy of worshiping the true God and being with God. They started worshiping the gods of the people who were there when they got there. And every so often, God would raise up something against them to get their attention again. The people would repent. God would bring a judge, one of the judges, and they will lead the people at that point out of the terrible situation that they have found themselves in after they have disobeyed what God has done. That happens time and time again. This calamity every time would get the people's attention. They'd cry out to God. God would relent and provide a judge. And God rises up these people, and the last of which, really, is Deborah. Deborah. Yes, God raised up a woman to lead, speak wisely, and encourage others to listen and follow God. So anyone who wants to tell you that women should not be heard in church, go read this. She is the person that God gave the words to tell what needed to happen. Deborah was a wise prophet and judge. Calls Barak and tells him he is to gather the forces and attack Jabin. He has come and heard the crying of the people working under this man. It's foreigners. Here, we're going to save you. Go attack the army and God will make you victorious. That sounds like an easy plan, doesn't it? Great. We'll do that. Unfortunately, Barak says, if you will go with me, I will do as God has said. If not, if you won't go with me, I will not. Now, to me, as I read this again and again over the last week or so, I got to think the boy is standing on real thin ice. God said, go do this, and I'll do it if I get this, this, and this. And I really don't understand. He's nervous, obviously. This is, after all, a big king who has lots of armor and bronze swords and things. Can he really trust Deborah? Or is it God he has a trust problem with? Or perhaps it is his own hearing. Let's be gently nice to him. Perhaps he doesn't hear well. Perhaps his earbuds are out of juice for today, and he's afraid he'll miss something. They won't come through. It won't come through clearly. I won't know what John... When we get over there, God, and if God speaks to me and says I'm supposed to do something and I don't hear it, if I don't understand it, that could be a real problem. I could see that. I think he's just scared and he really wants somebody else who has talked to him, or she's a smart woman, and so maybe I just want somebody smarter than me to tell me what to do. We all know what that's like. This guy is confused, or at least afraid. Afraid to step out when he has been told directly by God's chosen person, a wise prophet and judge. And he says, yeah, but. And Deborah says, yeah, okay, I'll go with you and you'll be victorious. But all of the joy and all of the lifting up of you as a great leader is going to go to somebody else. It's going to a woman. And we immediately go to the place where we think it's Deborah, right? She said, if I got to go, I'm going to get all the credit. Now, where we usually remember this whole story is the woman who really got all the credit is the woman that drove a tent peg through the dude's head. Don't talk about that too long. It really freaked me out every time I read that. But this woman is the one who actually kills the person who has been leading the army against him. I will go with you if you go with me. I will go and do what God says if you will go with me. How many times have we heard God's call in our lives and said, instead of saying yes, God, and going and doing, we said, well, okay, but can we not do it today because I got a haircut at 9 and I got a lunch date at 11:30 and then I got a real good date tonight with a girlfriend. Can we put this off for a while? Or perhaps something bigger. God says, hey, your time at doing this job is over. You need to go to this other job. Oh, but God, I just got a raise. Okay? And I got a company. good smell to it. How long can I just drive it and stay here until the new car smell is gone? This is what we call bargaining with God. We all do that from time to time. I just wonder what was really going on, and I don't know that there's a way for us to all know except to look at it from our point of view. Did he not trust his hearing? Or would he not trust in God? Or did he not trust Deborah? Perhaps a bit of all of that. Perhaps we feel that way many times, like when the phone rings and you pick it up and it's someone from the nominating committee saying, "Hey, we'd love for you to be an elder in the church. I'm sorry, this line's really messed up. I can't hear." Click. We know how that goes. We do indeed know how that goes. Or the times that you know that you should be doing something else, but you keep coming up with a reason why you don't go do it because it's outside of your comfort zone. The more I thought about it this past couple of weeks, that there is this fear in this man, a fear of getting too close to God, perhaps, or perhaps not trusting God enough, not knowing exactly what to do, stepping out into a place. And he doesn't want to look strange to other people, so I'll get her to talk to God for me, and you just tell me what's going on. That's another one we like to do a lot. "Pastor, can you pray for my fill in the blank, my pet dog, my cat, my children, whoever? I'll be glad to. How can I pray for them?" "Well, whatever." I said, I'll pray with you." "Oh no, you just do it." I never can get that one. I just kind of go, "Really? I mean, I'm glad to. I love to pray." But sometimes we just don't really want to talk to God, or we have not trained our ears to hear what God has to say to us. And I did say that right. We have to train ourselves to listen for God's word. And I know this because when I was a very young boy, very young, I was outside playing one day and my mother stuck her head out the door and said, "Come on, it's time to come in. Keith, come now." I made one of the first big mistakes of my life. I said, "I'll be there in a little while." I did that once. The pain that came to me was quick and seriously bad. And it was very quick. And it was in the front yard where everybody got to see it. That was even worse. Sometimes God inflicts pain on us to help us turn around and look to God again. "What is it you want from me, God? What can I do?" How do we learn to be so less afraid of God and be more respectful with God trying to reach us, teach us, use us, draw us closer into God's own plans? And it starts usually with little things. Poor Barack here, I mean, he's getting a big thing. But he is obviously not had his ears trained just right. How often do we do the same thing? You know, I was at a presbytery meeting, and this usually strikes fear into most people's hearts, as it does mine. Presbytery, if you're not a Presbyterian, you don't know, this is the diocese of the Catholic and other churches. Big meeting on Thursday. A very contentious thing came up, and the only time Presbyterians really get upset about anything, it has something to do with money. And you're laughing. I see you laugh. All the real Presbyterians are grinning right now. And this was about money that we are expecting to get, but we don't have yet. And there was out of a whole 3-hour meeting, 1 hour which was worship, thank the Lord, an hour was spent on this one thing. I was the moderator. I had to try to keep peace in this room. And by the way, it was in church. That was a good thing. And that whole debate, people spoke ad nauseum. But no one ever said, what do you think God wants us to do? It never came up. No one offered a prayer and said, God, please guide us, direct us, help us. They just stood up and told us how smart they were and why we should do what they wanted us to do. We are so untrained, we don't even look for it. We don't even look for finding what God has put in front of us to do. What God is calling us to be at this particular moment in time. We are too busy, like Barak here, trying to figure out what we got to do so I get a better standing in what I'm told to go do. It was sad yesterday, and I was very sad for that day. It was on Thursday. I was sad on Thursday. I was sad on Friday. I was less sad yesterday because it became good sermon fodder. But I'm also sad because I too did not say a word about God. As the moderator of the meeting, I constantly had the floor. I realized later that at any point I could have told everybody to be quiet for 5 minutes and let's pray, and I didn't do it. I understand Barak. I understand his hesitancy. It takes a long time to learn how to listen for God's direction. And we all make mistakes. He went out with his troops. He defeated the enemies of the people of God. But he was never mentioned again. Deborah, a wise prophet and a judge, told him where to go and what to do, and he did it. But how much better would that have been to hear it from God? That's what we all should be trying to do. Train our ears to listen for God and stop counting on other people to do it for us. I promise that I will continue to try, and I will hope to get better, given the will, God's joy and help. And I really hope that you will do that too, so that our ears may be trained as Deborah's were. I give thanks that God even bothers to talk to us at all. But he loves us and forgives us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Sisters and brothers, have